Hello. In this session, we will go over really, really important topic during entrepreneurial journey, which is consumer discovery and validation. Please pay attention to the class. Are you ready? Okay, let's begin. Okay, guys, you know, suppose that you start your businesses, then probably your business idea can be based on the consumer's problem. You notice that consumers right now faced unmet needs. And then, you know, this consumer's problem has not been solved properly yet. So that's why you prepare for your solution, and your solution is your idea, and also is your businesses. Okay, this is called as a problem-solution perspective. You may know that, right? But the more important issue inside the problem solution, you know, perspective is that many times the reality is different from your hypothesis. Okay? So probably you cannot have many consumers than you thought. Why? There are basically two reasons, in my opinion. Okay? The first reason would be, you know, your assumption about consumers' needs, consumers' problem was not true. Okay? I'm sorry, it's not true. Your assumption's wrong because no one wants to have a solution. Why? Because they don't feel there's problems. Okay? No one wants to purchase a solution if they don't have a problem. Okay? But you prepare the solution for those kind of problems. No one wants to fix it. Okay? And second reason why you don't have consumers is that your assumption is right, okay? So you pick up, you know, correct, you know, problems. But the real issue is that your timing is not right, okay? So you are in the wrong time, okay? So that's why you don't have consumers, okay? Your startups are ready, okay? But consumers are not ready. It has happened many times. Look at this chart. Well, CB Insight, you know, provide us several kind of statistics. And then, you know, according to the CB Insight statistics, there are top 20 reasons why startup fails. Number one reason is what? Number one reason is no market needs. Same thing happened, right? Same. Consumers don't feel any problem, okay, so for your solutions. So that's why you cannot attract any consumers. I will give you an example. Okay, look at him. He tried to solve the problem about the consumers for presentation, okay? So he thought that, you know, there are so many people suffer from, you know, lack of the skill about the presentation, but they want to present very well, but there is no way to improve their presentation skills, right? I think it could be a great problem. Wow, you know, nobody properly solved this kind of problem yet. Okay, so that's why I prepare for the solution. This is my solution, okay? There is a boy, who hoped to make a presentation very well, and then he prepared for the solution, which is ratemyspeech.com. Okay, the basic idea of the ratemyspeech.com is that you record your presentation and you upload your video to some of the community, online community, which is ratemy.com. You know, website, then other people who register for the ratemy.com, you know, the watches your presentation, you know, then they rate the performance of your presentation. Okay. So basically he started these types of businesses that record own presentation and get the feedback from us, from others. Okay. Then what happened? Think about it. Can you take a video from your the presentation and upload your video to somewhere else in order to receive the feedback from you know, anybody, from random guy? Probably not. Why? Because, you know, I don't want it. You know, actually, I know my presentation skill is weak, but in order to improve my presentation skill, should I upload my video of the presentation? You know, how to take a, you know, video about my presentation? Wow, it is not convenient. Okay, I'm not feeling comfortable. So this is the reason, you know, the consumers avoid these types of solutions. So that there's no one want to use these types of solutions. And there's not enough the incentive to do it. You know what I mean? Okay. Let's look at another example. You know, look at him. He thought that, you know, so many people use the valuable item just only once. For example, you know, snowblower. You know, I purchased the snowblower for upcoming winter, but I used this snowblower only once in this winter. And I just put this expensive snowblower into my garage. I never used it again, right? Wow, it is so waste. Okay, it is so wasting. So that's why he thought that, you know, why not allowing others to use my unused item, unused devices, you know, in exchange for the money. Then I can make additional money. Wow, it's really great. So he created some kind of solution, which is why own it? Okay, so you just borrow the devices from somewhere else. Or you can just lend your devices to somebody else. Okay, and then you can make money. And then we will use our resources efficiently. That is his idea, you know, based on, you know, consumer's problem and solution. Okay, so he made a mobile application so the consumers can open up the mobile application and they can just simply borrow or rent the devices like a snowblower or a lawnmower, something like that. But what happened, you know, consumers, people simply don't want to rent their devices or don't want to borrow the devices from somewhere else. And think about it. It was also very dangerous. Okay, so how to rent your devices to somebody else? Then probably somebody else should visit your places. Okay, think about strangers visit your places. Wow, it could be very dangerous. They can be deaf. They can be killer. They can be terrorists. You know, nobody knows who they are. Okay, so it is not safe. Okay, safe way is not just simply not to rent anything. So that's why, you know, he cannot attract any, you know, consumers. So this business is failed. Okay, look at another one. You know, his idea was very interesting. Because he thought that, wow, there are so many conferences out there. And then after conference, what happened? Nothing happened. Okay, so we cannot make any friend out of conference. Wow, it is so waste. Okay, and then, so he thought that why we cannot make friends out of conference? Because there is no community, no online community for the conference participant, you know, gather together again after the conference. So that's why he talk about his idea with conference organizers. And then conference organizers, you know, many conference organizers agree with his idea. And then conference organizers said that, yes, it could be really great if you make those kind of community. So that's why he put a lot of effort and energy to create some kind of, you know, after conference community. You know, for example, like a Facebook, specialized Facebook for the after conference. Okay, this is kind of a concept. So his idea was event view, right? Event view. He started this business that is supplying social community like a Facebook for the conference, you know, participant. What happened? Conference organizers were not interested in these types of businesses. Well, although they said that, yes, it might be great, but that is their opinion, okay? But when they try to pay the service, then they don't feel any incentive to pay the service for these types of solution, okay? So the conference organizers were not interested in actually paying the fee to those kind of communities, okay? So that's why he failed. Okay, let's look at this picture. You know, I asked ChatGPT to draw the webtoon style, you know, webtoon style pictures, okay? Well, this is a real startup example. This is a June Pizza. June Pizza was a very successful once. You know, the concept of June Pizza is like this. You just open up your mobile application, then you place the order. Then later what happened? You know, there is some restaurant, you know, hidden restaurant over there. And then inside the restaurant, there's a conveyor belt and robot arm. So the robot basically made the baked pizza. You know what I mean? Robots bake the pizza. Okay, so there is the complicated technology in it, advanced technology, AI and robot and others. Then later, you know, the people pick up the pizza and deliver the pizza to the door. Okay, then later they, you know, the founding team had an additional plan, okay, which is baking on the way. Baking on the way means they prepare for the, you know, big truck, and inside the truck there is a 56, you know, mobile oven. So, you know, you drove the street, down the street, and then you arrive the destination. You know, once you arrive destination, you just finish the baking the pizzas. Okay, so then you can deliver the very fresh made pizzas right now. Okay, to the consumers. Wow, it's so great. Okay, so great. And you know how to estimate the timing and estimate the location. You know, it's all based on the complicated, you know, the technology. Okay, data analysis technology in it, you know, AI technology in it. So they calculate already, and then they optimize the location and distance and timing, something like that. So their purpose is to deliver, you know, very fresh pizza on time. Okay, this is the idea. What do you think? So why they started these businesses? Okay, let's look at this. You know, the founders started this business based on their assumption about consumers' problem. They thought that there's a huge problem in terms of the pizza delivery. What are they? First one, pizza delivery is sometimes slow. And also the pizza is kind of low quality pizza delivery. Okay, so people probably want better, freshier pizza delivery faster. Okay. Then second problem would be there is an inconsistent pizza quality, okay, from traditional pizza delivery. Because there is a traffic jam, then, you know, it takes a long time. So the restaurant-made pizza often arrived soggy or cold because of the delivery issues. So that's why we should revolutionize the pizza deliveries, okay? So they started these businesses. What about the reality? What about reality? It sounds great. Yes, great. What about a little bit expensive though? Okay, are you willing to premium prices on this, you know, baking on the way types of pizza or robot-made pizza? So in order to eat the robot-made pizza, you want to pay kind of 30% more? Are you ready to do it? Okay, in the reality, slow, low-quality pizza deliveries, most consumers were satisfied with existing pizza delivery. I'm okay for the Domino. I'm okay for the Papa John's because they are tasty and cheap, efficient. Why not? Why should we pay more money on the robot-made pizzas? I don't care. Okay. Second reason, inconsistent, you know, food quality from the traditional deliveries. Well, you know, most consumers were not demanding oven-baked on the way pizzas. Okay, sometimes, you know, I feel there's a inconsistent pizza quality, but I think it's okay. You know, just my simple lunch, it's fine. Okay, in order to eat fresher pizzas, I don't want to pay the premium prices for the robot, you know, robot arms made or oven baked on the way pizza. You know, I don't want it. I don't care. So that's why what happened? You know, the June pizza has raised around $445 million as outside funding, you know, led by SoftBank Vision Fund. It was successful. So that's why the June pizza was valued at over $1 billion once, but it shut down its pizza service in 2020. So what is the best takeaway from this story? So story is clear. Assumption, your assumption is sometimes different from your reality. Okay, second reason why you don't have consumers. Second reason is that your assumption is right, but your timing is wrong. Okay, what if your problem is too early or too late? Then you cannot attract proper consumers. Okay, so remember, success or failure is about timing issues. Okay, so timing issue accounts for 42% of the start of failure. Okay, look at him. He is a NYU student who wished to know where his friends have a party. Okay, well, actually, he wanna be invited to his friend's party. Probably he's isolated. Anyway, he wanna know where they are. Okay, so that's why he created one of the services, which is Dodgeball. Dodgeball is a kind of a location-based social networking services, and it can be provided by the mobile phone. Okay, the simple idea is like this. You just text the message to your friends, and your friends receive the message about the information and where they are about the party. And then, you know, if you are willing to attend this party, then you press 1, yes. If you don't want to go there, and you press 2, no. Okay, it's pretty simple. Then your friends know your willingness to participate in this party or not. And you knew where they are, okay? But what happened? Think about it. What happened? You know, he started this business, I think, a little bit early. Okay, how early? You know, it was not very successful because, you know, there is no smartphone and Facebook. So that's why not too many people can use these services. At that time, you know, the mobile phone was not smart. And you just received the text message, okay? Like this, you know, you got the text message, like your friends who is at Ace Bar. So this is a location, Ace Bar in Manhattan. You know, will you attend this party or not? You know, press 1 or 2. What do you think? You know, you can simply just call them. Okay. Hey, Mr. Bear. We are at the, Ace Bar. Will you attend this party or not? Okay, you just simply call them. And you don't have to make a kind of complicated text message to them. Okay, where are we? Okay, we are Ace Bar. You know, Wall Street, nearby Wall Street, there is some blah, blah. You can just explain it. So that's why not too many people use this problem. Not too many people feel the same way of the problem. Okay, so that's why this company, although was a little bit successful because Google acquired this company in 2005. But later on, you know, Google shut down this service, okay? Then what happened? Anyway, he addressed, you know, I think it's a great solution, you know, great problems. Okay, he addressed the good problem though. Although his service was a little bit early, then later on what happened? He started similar services again. Okay, so location-based some kind of software services. You know, he started, you know, full scale. I think the concepts are pretty much similar. And then what happened? He successfully attracted tons of the consumers. How many? 45 million consumers. Okay, then what happened? You know, this startup has raised more than $400 million as outside funding. What do you think? You know, same solutions based on same the problems. But what happened? You know, his timing was great. Okay, look at him. Well, this is a kind of another example about this issue, timing. Okay, so he thought the very interesting idea. Okay, so we get online. Then, you know, why not making group purchase of the single item? Then what happened? You know, we can purchase tons of items. Then, you know, we can get the discount because we have bargaining power. Okay, so let's get online first. So he created quickly his service, which is the letsbuyit.com today. Okay, letsbuyit.com. Let's buy it together, right? You know, as long as we get online, you know, as long as we purchase the bulk item, then we can get 20% or 30% discount. Wow, it's really great. Then what happened? Okay, unexpected to his expectation, not too many people get online. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Not too many people get online. They don't know what it is. They don't know what is the group purchase. They don't know. They don't know the concept. Wow, it's a concept was pretty matured and they don't know what it is. they don't want to get online. They don't want to pay something online because, you know, they don't have any experience on it. Okay. So that's why this business was not successful. Then what happened, you know? After many years later, what happened? Somebody else initiated very similar businesses. This is a Groupon. Okay, the Groupon idea is pretty much the same. Okay, so we get online and make a group purchase. Then we can get the discount. This Groupon service was booming, was exploding. And then what happened? You know, Groupon became huge, successful company. So anyway, so he got the right problem, but his solution was great, but problem was timing. Okay, his entering timing was too early in the market, right? Okay, so when you start your businesses, you'd better identify the consumer's problem very well, and also you prepare for the exact solution for your consumer's problem, and you need to think about when is the right timing, okay? Look at this example, you know, the left picture is, you know, deep ocean, you know, fishing boat. This is Dongwon. Have we heard about the Dongwon? You know, Dongwon is a well-known company in Korea, which is a great company for the tuna. And then, you know, the Dongwon started around 1960s. Around that time, world number one, global number one tuna company was Starkist. Have we heard about Starkist? You know, Del Monte America had Starkist. You know, so the Starkist is the branch of the Del Monte Group, right? And you know, the Del Monte Orange. Anyway, Starkist opened up the kind of a canned tuna factory in the island of Samoa in Pacific Ocean, right? So this is the factory. In 1963, Starkist Samoa factory. Okay, so basically inside this factory, you know, the Starkist made a canned tuna. And who supplied the tuna? Yes, of course, Dongwon. Dongwon, the deep ocean fishing boat, catch the tuna a lot and supply most of the tuna to the Samoa factory of the Starkist. Okay, then the interesting thing is the Dongwon is the world number one, you know, tuna catching boat. Okay, and they catch the tuna a lot. Okay, no one beat their record. No one beat them. Okay, because Dongwon has some kind of great know-how and they had the skill to, you know, catch the tuna. So many people, you know, ask the CEO of the Kimjachol of the Dongwon, you know, why not? Why not starting your own canned tuna factory in Korea? Then you can make more money. Why you just supply your tuna to the Starkist factory only? Okay, so is there any reason? Then, you know, CEO Kimjachol replied those kind of questions like this. Well, think about it. Canned tuna is a great item, but you know, only the country that exceed, you know, $2,000 as a GDP per capita, okay, can consume the canned tuna. Below to $2,000 GDP per capita, you know, those countries are not ready to consume this kind of tuna. Korea, at that time, Korea's GDP per capita is way below than $2,000. Then the Kim Jae-chul, you know, CEO Kim Jae-chul said that probably we expect to reach out $2,000 around, you know, early 1980s. Then at that time, probably the Korean people are ready to consume the canned tuna. Then, so we'd better prepare the factory, canned tuna factory in Korea before 1980s. Then, you know, we can start it, you know, producing canned tuna. Okay. Then, you know, the late 1970s, early 1980s, you know, he prepared the canned tuna factory in Korea. Then he started making canned tuna and supply the canned tuna to the Korean people. Because at that time, the Korea's GDP per capita exceeded $2,000. What do you mean by that? The Korean people are ready to consume the canned tuna. Then what happened? You know, Dongwon became the Korean number one canned tuna company. Then later, made tons of money and saved this money and purchased Starkist in 2008. Okay, so the Dongwon right now became global number one canned tuna company. Okay, this is the story. Wow, what do you think? You know, CEO Kim Jae-chul, founder of the Dongwon, you know, he's very smart. He knew when to enter the market, right? So although you have a great idea, although you have a great solution, but having great idea, having great solution is not enough. Okay, you need to figure out when to enter the market, right? So timing issue can kill or can save your businesses. Okay, please remember that.